Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
What a testimony, what a way to move into the time of the Word of God. Today we're going to Matthew chapter 14, verses 23 through 33. We're still talking about even more reasons to believe in Jesus, and we're moving down a particular pathway I believe God has us on to usher in some things about our whole, we're on the advent of the season of the year where we really acknowledge who Jesus is and what he came to do. So we're going to start from verse 23, the responding verses you'll find on the screen behind me. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Son of God. Let's pray. Father, today we're going to gain a greater reality of who you are, not just because of the storms or the winds that you calm in our lives, but Lord, we're going to gain a greater perspective on the very fact that these are just a part of life. But Lord, that you never leave us. You give us a command. You say, go to the other side, and you don't leave us in the midst to kind of figure it out when the storms arise. Lord, today you're going to speak prophetically to many people in this house who are going through something right now. But Lord, you're going to take them all the way through. And Lord, if necessary, on that which seems impossible, to step out on water, which we know doesn't hold people up. But Lord, your word will hold us up no matter what. So in the name of Jesus, Lord, I speak hope, I speak courage, I speak prophetically over people who've come today to learn more about you, that your grace and your mercy may cover our lives. We ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Well, of all the things that we have in life to believe in, nothing compares to receiving an invitation that you truly want, that you really want to have. And that means simply this: regardless of the gadgets and the innovations that have been created, they pale in comparison to participating in something that you once thought would never be available to you, or you were hopelessly disqualified even if you were going to be asked. It goes like this: the words that follow after the word come can bring hope, security, and purpose that you once thought would never be possible. God is going to give you a divine invitation. Every person in this room, no one will be excluded. Not one. That word come means, and we're going to explore it in several different ways, but in this particular place, it's an invitation to come and to forget about the storm, but to focus on Jesus. And that's what I want to happen today, is forget about what you're going through. You're going to find out some things about what you're going through in just a few moments, but forget about this, and just let's look at a couple of questions I need to ask. First of all, is there the one invitation that you've been waiting for that you believe will change your life forever? You say, well, what could that possibly be? It could be come down to the lottery office and pick up your check. And that's about the focus some of us have. Somebody calls me up and says, or some person that you didn't know about died and they got some inheritance for you. They're like, I'll be right there. Or like they say on the say, come on down. I don't know about that, but how about this? Are there things that are going on in your life that you would like to leave behind so that you can pursue your real purpose and destiny? I believe there's some of us here that have got some baggage you'd like to jettison. And stuff you'd like to cast in the sea of forgetfulness to be remembered no more. Anybody with me today? You got some junk and some stuff. You say, I have no use for this. Thank you very much. Well, what about this? Do you believe that you are on the brink of discovery of the things that will bring the peace and contentment that you have always longed for? And I want to tell you, I'm going to answer for you. Yes, you are. because God brought you into this place today to receive a word of faith and a word of encouragement that could surpass anything you've heard before. Well, back into Matthew, coming to Jesus in the midst of a storm, you know, back to verses 26 and 7, then the disciples saw him walking on the sea, and they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And all the time it was Jesus. I want to give you some tools, and also through Jesus to what he does, that when Jesus comes to you, you won't think he's somebody else. Because some of you kind of got the idea, well, is this Jesus or is this me? Well, if it's good, it ain't you. I'm already in trouble. But because of what you've gone through, you're just a little bit skeptical to believe that something good's going to happen because all the bad stuff has happened. Somebody wave your hand if you know what I'm talking about. You're afraid to believe. And so in the midst of the storm, they're saying, you know, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But you know what Jesus' answer is to this? Well, now us is, well, if you think I'm a ghost, I'm out of here. Forget it. Just stay with your little silly problems. But you know what Jesus does? He says, be of good cheer. Everything's changing from this point on. Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. I want you to trade in some fear for faith today. Increase your bank account of what God has had for you. Well, here's the thing that are statistically proven of people that, you know, get saved or whatever. Most people come to Jesus when they're going through something. Did you come to Jesus because everything was just great in your life? No. Some of you were on your way down and didn't see there was anything to stop the escalation downwards. And said, help me! And Jesus reached out his hand to help you. That's a good thing, but then again, it may not be such a good thing because you don't have to be going through a storm to come to Jesus. Coming to Jesus should be the most natural and should be the first choice over everything else that's going on in your life. And so I want to change your perspective and your paradigm of experience if you would allow me to. The more you fulfill yourself, the less you will seek God or his presence. The more stuff you put in your life, all of a sudden, oh, I don't really need Jesus. And, you know, I've got the internet. Got Google. Google can help me out. Anything I need to know, just Google it. Or how about this? Millions of people have been asking God to reveal to them, and this was last week, the Lord to reveal to them the right numbers for the lottery. Oh, Jesus, I have faith to believe that you can just tell me, unlock that which no one else, and you know, and I'll tell you what, people prayed that prayer. As they mashed that button, gave them their $2, said, in the name of Jesus. It's true. And when Jesus didn't come through, God, I got a word for you. You're weird. The bankruptcy of our soul could never be compensated if we won any amount of money. Now, hear what I'm saying. The bankruptcy of our soul. Do you know what? There is nothing on this planet that you're taking with you when you die. That's right. Nothing. But your soul in bankruptcy can only be fulfilled by the Jesus that will come to you in the midst of all this other stuff. And he can when he gives you an invitation to come, do anything after that, you will have a transformation of who you were to who you're supposed to be. And what does that mean? It means that when we put a price tag on our happiness, we have already lost our true identity, our identity as a child of God. I'm here to wage warfare in your life on discontent. Because if you're reaching for the next thing or trying to get this particular thing going on or the next car, the next house, the next job, the next promotion, this type of thing, and you cannot come to Jesus right now until you get those other things, there's something wrong. Jesus is enough. And anything added to that is just blessings on top of that. Well, we must discover what it means to seek God with our whole heart when it is not driven by pain or adverse circumstances. That's what I'm really talking about today, is for you to want to come to Jesus because he's Jesus. And not because your life is just spinning. Because then you'll never have a real relationship with him, because it's always predicated on, oh, Jesus, fix this, or help me with that, or let me get out of my depression, or on and on and on and on. And you'll never know him for who he truly is. And you'll never have a real vital relationship to it, you know, of how that works. Now, will he stop doing miracles? That's not the point. It's just the idea of finding him with a different focus. When our only focus is to get out of something bad to something better, we'll miss God. We'll miss him. Or how about this? The more you seek to fulfill yourself, the less you will seek God. Got one more for you in this lineup. We must learn to seek God more than we seek for solutions to our problems. If God doesn't fix anything in your life, will you still seek him? Boy, that's a tough one. Because I'm holding on to him, hoping that he will fix it. What if he doesn't? Gonna still serve him? Whew. This is roughly said. I could have stayed home. I could be watching football right now. Too late. Jesus sent his disciples on a journey without him to allow them to discover what was truly in their hearts. Do you know, whenever you find yourself in a situation where you're going through a storm, it's not to take you out. Because remember, he purposely says, you guys go over to the other side. I'm going to spend some time here praying, and I'll see you on the other side. Which means that, you know, Jesus, when he gives you a promise, he's going to see you on the other side. He'll see you on the other side. But what he's saying to you, there's something you're going to face, but don't worry about it. I haven't abandoned you. I'll catch up with you later. What you're going through right now, even though you believe that Jesus is absent, he's not. He knows exactly where you're at. Well, when the Lord sends us on a journey, we can rest upon the fact that we're there by his divine design. And he's totally aware of where we are because he's the one, obviously, that sent us on the journey. Today, God is realigning, or actually causing you to get into alignment with the boat or the transition that he's put you into. He's real kind of reassessing where you're at. The storms that we will face are no surprise to him, but rather an opportunity for our trust to be established. Now, one thing I'll use a today term, Jesus is a first responder. Make sense? When I say he's a first responder, the first responder is those people that when emergency comes, they are on the spot. You call them and they're gonna be there. It's like the paramedics and those type of folks who say, "Oh, we got to go out there to this particular person because they really need our help." And they have expertise to deal with people that are in crisis. Isn't that right? First responders do that. But he's the first responders to our struggles in life. Jesus will respond to life-threatening situations with powerful demonstrations of putting our fears underneath our feet. Now, how this works out is so different than what you may be experiencing right now. But the deal is, he can casually walk on top of the very thing that you thought was going to take you out. Because here they are in the midst of the storm, the wind is blowing, it's dark out there, and all of a sudden, from a distance, they see Jesus. But they say, "Who is this? This is ghost, a ghost." And the very thing that's troubling you, Jesus is walking on. Do you hear what I'm saying? Get your eyes off the problem. Get your eyes on Jesus. Your focus is on the wrong thing. But whenever you take your eyes off of Jesus, you're going down. Some of you sitting in the boat, I wonder how many people are going to be at my funeral. Because you already think you're dead. Wow. He can casually walk on top of those things. Jesus is not moved by the things that seem to have us going all kinds of directions of uncertainty and disorientation. Let me stop right here. Poll time. How many of you right now are going through a storm? Lift your hand right now. Put your hands down. How many of you don't want to tell me you're going through a storm? See? Gotcha! Everybody's going through something. But it's okay. Because Jesus is going through it with you. It's okay. Let's unpack this a little bit more. We will fail to recognize Jesus when we allow fear to replace our faith. And this is how it looks. Jesus reveals himself to us with words of affirmation that disarm the power of what we believe is going to take us out. He says words like, be of good cheer. Good cheer. Do you realize what I just heard? Do you realize what's happening? You're telling me be a good cheer and you know, I owe the IRS $2,000 and I didn't save the money aside and they're going to take my house? That's the reality. That Jesus says, be of good cheer. I'm with you. Well, Jesus will command us to let go of fear and believe it is truly him regardless of what we thought was true. Now here's three words, actually, four. If it is you. Those words are paralytic because of the fact that we're all human. And we say, is this just something I want to happen, or is it really God talking to me that he told me to do this particular thing? Because what I hear him say, he goes, if it is you, Peter says, give me some sort of proof it's you. I love the way God resolves problems. He says, if it is you, let me come to you. And I don't think that Peter really thought it was going to happen. It's almost like, if it's really you, let me come out to you on the water. And you know what Jesus says? He didn't even laugh about it. He said, come. What? Ever hear something from God that you didn't think he would say? Ever have your faith put on the line when God gives you this particular challenge? Like you say, well, I didn't mean today, I meant tomorrow. I didn't mean that water. I was thinking like when we get closer to the shore, where in case it doesn't work, I can just kind of wade my way through. You don't get to declare the terms on which God says come. When he says come, the only response that will work is for you to take them, number 13s, and place them on something that has no ability to hold you up. Wow. Jesus issued a divine invitation to Peter to come and join him and experience a miracle of defying logic and trusting his words to sustain him. And here's the part where it's going to get really tricky, or shall I say difficult, for many of us, myself included. Number one, in order to experience what God wants you to experience, you must obey him. God is not interested in your excuses. Well, Jesus, I would come, but, you know, I, as a child, I had a fear of water, and I don't swim, and I don't even like going to the beach. So if you could get a pass on that, I believe you, it's you. I tell you, you got that right. But I don't see myself on the water with you. Jesus isn't interested in what you see. He's interested in what you do, based upon what he told you to do. Now, I need to just give the indictment to everybody at the same time. There are things that Jesus has told you to do that you haven't done, and that's the reason why you are where you are today. He said that to me. I'm just insulted. No, I'm just telling you the truth. Many of us are in a place where we could have been away from the problem, but God told you something to do, and you didn't see how it was going to work out, so you are back in that same place, and you haven't moved one inch, and the word is still out there. Come. God doesn't give you any more information other than that.
That's right.
And until you obey, you're going to be in the same pitiful situation. It's not that we don't know what to do, it's we refuse to obey. Well, let's do a little bit more with this as you're wiping away your depression. He had to trust the word of Jesus. And he had to leave his logic behind him and replace it with the authority of the word of God that he received from Jesus. Now, I'm going to leave this story for a moment. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, because I want to give you a different perspective on this, because we're really... He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says, well, you're shifting gears on us. On purpose, I am. Because I don't want you to get this whole storm principle wrapped around you. I want to take you to another aspect of what I believe Jesus is saying when he gives us the word come. Jesus issues the invitation to come to him to those who need to rest. And I believe that we live in a culture that is just thrust with busyness and you know, with all the things you got in your cell phone to remind you to do different stuff, and you're going from here to there. And Jesus wants to teach us how to rest. I want to show you how that works. Come is an invitation which needs no explanation. And when Jesus, the Lord, extends an invitation for us to come and rest, rest assured that he knows all of our liabilities and hang-ups. And so he puts them in two categories, weary and heavy laden. Any of those fit you? You can take A or B, or A and B, whichever. But however it works out, we can wear ourselves down or allow the world to wear us down. And heavy laden, when you're heavy laden, that means you're taking on more than you should take on. And I'm not going to get with you codependent folk that ain't here. But you're carrying stuff that doesn't belong to you. And that's the reason why you're so beat down, tore up from the floor up, and all that kind of stuff going on in your life. Because you've taken on more than God wants you. He says, come to me. All. What is he saying? Well, the most logical thing for us to do when receiving such an invite is to figure out why we are included. All you there, we're in heaven. Me? You're talking to me? Yeah, you. Our self-examination will usually bring or begin with thoughts or realities of unworthiness. Why would Jesus want to give me an invitation like that after how unfaithful or how untrustworthy I am or on and on? The devil will beat you up and tell you how unworthy you are to the point where you will never trust Jesus with what he told you to do. And let me tell you right now, I don't deserve it, and neither do you. But when he says come, he means it. And I love the word he puts in there. All who are weary and heavy laden. kind of an umbrella situation that I think will cover us. Here we go. Jesus is absolutely aware of whom he has given the invitation to, and he says, he does not require that we fix everything in our life before we come. Oh, wait, Jesus, before I come to you, I got to take care of... No, you don't. Jesus says, you come, we'll deal with that later. Because if you get distracted with trying to fix all the stuff that's sideways in your life, you will never come. I can say this because my wife loves me. That's how I preface when I'm going to talk about something she does. We have got this little thing about you know, her, you know, she says, well, I'm going to be at such a time. She gets distracted with stuff. And all of a sudden, you know, she says, oh, I'll be there just a minute. And all of a sudden, she'll see something. Oh, that's right. And all of a sudden, guess what? She gets sucked into this particular thing. She says, I know, but and she just gets busy with that particular thing. And that's what our problem is. God gives us an invitation to come, and we say, oh, yeah, I'll be there in just a minute. I just got this one little thing to do there. And before it's over, we say, really? I want to deal with my distractions. This therapy's for me, not for you. So you guys just listen in while I'm having my little conversation. There is nothing more important than what Jesus tells you to do when he tells you to do it. Now let me just take it back into the culture that I was raised in. When my daddy said, go clean up your room, that was not a suggestion. Nor did I have input as to when that was going to occur. It meant drop whatever you're doing, head up to your room, and I'll be there to inspect it in a half an hour, and if it's not up to my particular preferences, there's going to be a problem. And all you Spock babies out there, so, now, Harold, if you don't really feel like doing that, if you need to play with your blocks first, it's perfectly fine. Mother doesn't mind. But I'm hoping that sometime before the end of the week, you can get your clothes ready for the laundry because Mother likes to do the laundry on Sunday. Well, if I have to do it on Sunday, that's really not a big deal. I don't know who your mama was, but that wasn't my mama. You know what she make you do? If you miss laundry day, there was a washboard downstairs, and there was Baraxo. Some of you don't know what a washboard is, but I'll tell you what: if you want to clean clothes, that's how you gonna get them. Because if you miss the call, it's over. Oh, I'm feeling better now. My therapy is getting down deep now. Well. When he calls us, we respond, he will work miracles in us that will address our strongest fears of hopelessness and shame. How about this? We must come to the place that we are willing to do the simple thing he asks us to do, which requires that we leave where we are and come to him. Just a couple more things before we finish today, but I believe it'll help us just to kind of really put these two things together. Personal contact with Jesus will change everything in our life. That means the thing that we seek the most in life is rest for our souls. And that's true. When you can just kind of sit down, you know, in your house or wherever you happen to be, and there's nothing that's just kind of dogging you, what you need to do, you just kind of rest, enjoy God's presence, that's probably the best gift you'll ever have. The labor of trying to get into the right place with God will consume us. Or the heaviness of trying to achieve or measure up to ever-changing standards will consume us. All you that weary and are heavy laden, because it seems like the playbook or the rule book is being changed by the hour, by the day. But Jesus says, come to me. Now, Jesus will whisper, come to me at the most unexpected times in your life. And he's going to whisper it to some of you today as I'm talking. This is how it works. The Lord wants to sustain you during the times when life does not make sense. I won't ask you to vote on that one, but I'll tell you there are people in this room today that your life, as far as you know, it doesn't make sense because you've made some good choices and you thought things were going to change and they didn't. That you turned away from this hoping that that would be the next step and it's not there yet. Just let that marinate for a moment and let me take you to the next point. The rest that Jesus offers is the infusion of life when you feel like you don't have anything left. There's people over on this side that feel like they're done. There's nothing else I can do. I tried everything. And you know what Jesus says to you? Come. Either burden, heavy laden, and you can rest in my love for you. Because some of you don't feel loved until everything is done the way you think it needs to be done. Jesus says, come. How about this? Jesus wants you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit overtaking your life in ways that are supernatural. And you say, well, how can I possibly have peace when there's all this stuff's got to be taken care of? You know, the Lord says, Jesus says this, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's how Jesus' peace works. Peace I leave with you. It doesn't come and go. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, the circumstantial type stuff, give I unto you. And two things have to be, neither let your, don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Those things have to go. We're almost there, folks. We can exchange the yoke of slavery to the yoke of united purpose in Christ. Jesus is in the yoke right beside us because in this part he says, you know, take my yoke upon you. He says, and he'll take us through the most difficult times in our life. We will learn from Jesus because he's right by our side. And how about this? Everything we go through, he goes through with us. He says, he's yoked up with us. He says, I'm right here. I haven't gone nowhere. Jesus, this hurts. He says, remember, I'm right alongside you. When you not just imagine yourself, but when you picture yourself yoked up with Christ, that the same thing you're going through, he says, I'm with you. Lo, I'm with you always. You know, it's so much easier to say, you know, Jesus, I know you understand what I'm going through. And as long as, remember that little song they taught you in Sunday school, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. Anybody remember that song? Some of you folks didn't go to church. Got a bunch of heathens in here, good Lord. That was basic. That was in Sunday school. You say Sunday school? Yeah, never mind. And find rest for your soul is something that only Jesus can do because he's the lover of your soul and he knows how much you can bear and he will guide you through everything that you face. Here's the last little place that we need to go. John chapter 1, verses 38 through 39. We'll finish this up in just a moment because it's a good space. Then Jesus turned, seeing them, following, he said to them, what do you see? He said, Rabbi, which is to say, translate a teacher, where are you staying? And he said to them, come and see. And they came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. You say, what does that got to do with anything? Oh, this is the part that I can leave with you that'll hopefully guide you the rest of this week. Our relationship with Jesus must be more than just curiosity that needs to be addressed. Why do I say that? Because, number one, Jesus is not intimidated by your questions. Master, where are you staying? You know what his response is? Come and see. Jesus isn't afraid of your little interrogation. Are you kidding me? But here's the part that prevails in our culture is that, you know, some people just come to me, let's wonder if I know what Jesus is all about. Well, when we ask Jesus something, his reply is an invitation to get to know him on an intimate level. He said, where are you staying? He says, I want you to come to the place where I'm staying. I want to spend time with you. I remember the song, I Miss My Time With You. There he was still waiting in our old familiar place. An empty spot beside him where once we used to meet. To be filled with strength and wisdom at the coming of the day, I would have passed by again, but I simply heard him say, I miss my time with you. Those moments together. I have to sing that song one of these days again. That's one of them old ones. But anyway, the point behind this, Jesus misses his time with us. He says, oh, Jesus ain't worried about me. He's got all his other folks. He got the whole universe. He don't know. He didn't know when I'm there or not. That's crazy. And that's what the devil wants you to believe. But let me just unpack this little intimacy piece just for the next few moments. There's nothing too personal to ask Jesus. Jesus wants us to come to him so we can discover who we really are. John 1:42 goes on a little bit further after this invitation that they've been to his house. John 1:42 says this. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no deceit. And Nathan said to him, how do you know me? And Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Jesus knows everything about you. He says, how do you know me? He knows the good and the bad, but you know something? He doesn't major on the bad. He wants to point you toward the good. He says, I saw you under a tree. I think if we really realized, we wouldn't be so, you know, tripped out over people tapping your cell phone and, you know, following you on your cell phone this time. Jesus knows where you are anyway. They want to know where you are, ask Jesus. He'll tell them if you need to know. I don't know what. But we must be willing. Jesus will look at us and give us our true identity. We must be willing to come into his presence and receive his word over us. And you know, God's got a word over many of you today. And the first word you need to hear from him is that he desires for you to be where he is. Jesus isn't shunning you. What else does that mean? God desires to give us a new name, devoid of self-interest, pride, and arrogance. Well, Jesus knows the things about us that we thought were unknown or unacknowledged by the Lord. John 1, 47 and 48. Well, those are ones that he actually, oh, we already got those up there. So we can move on to this. So God knows your heart when it's pure toward him. And there are things about you that God only knows. And Jesus' eyes are on you to uphold and care for you. It's John 1:43. That's the one I want. John 1:43. That's our last scripture for the day. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. What does that mean? Follow me is not a suggestion. It's a command. Well, if you're not doing anything else, do you guys want to hang out with me? No. That's not the way it's put forth. And he's the only one who can say with authority, follow me, without the very fact that a preponderance of thought saying that, you're kind of an aimless person and I've vetted you sufficiently and I guess you can follow. He said, no. When the word, he says, first of all, he says, come and follow me is kind of a derivative of the word come. But he's saying, you know what? When you come to me, you need to be willing to follow me. See, some of us are in the exploratory stage. Of Jesus. Well, I just kind of see what this is all about and I'll make my decision later. It doesn't work that way. When we are called out by the Lord, we can be assured of his blessing on our lives. We must be willing to let go of anything that will keep us from responding to his invitation to come. He will take you home not only for a day, but for eternity. And here's the last thing. There's only one thing you can dedicate to God, and that's your right to yourself. If we're ever going to come to Jesus, we abandon all of our rights to ourselves, and we're obedient to the things he's called us to do. I said something, it wasn't random, it wasn't out of just trying to fill space. But I believe that through this morning, God has spoke to some people specifically into their lives, into their situation, that they need to come to him. It's not just people who don't know Jesus. It's people who have known him for a long period of time and have never really processed it in this particular realm, that they've been looking for various avenues or various places to dispel energy of their life. And Jesus says all the time, he says, come. Those of you that acknowledge you're in a storm and you're going through some stuff, I want to encourage you to come to Jesus today. You say, well, people will think I'm not saved. You're not. What do you mean by that? I said, if you're out there just kind of, and I'm not talking about you're not a child of God, but when you're just kind of floundering and you're not in his presence in a place where he can minister life and hope and peace to you, why are you out there? Jesus is saying, come to me and receive the rest of the Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I feel the Holy Spirit just hovering over us today. And there's something that Jesus is saying to a couple of people here today. And perhaps, not perhaps, you don't know Jesus. You haven't given your life to Jesus. And this is a day for this to happen. And while we're all just praying for you, I want to tell you a couple of things that I know. First of all, you've tried your best to try to be perfect and try to make changes in your life, and it hasn't worked. As a matter of fact, you feel a lot of guilt and a lot of shame about things you've done or things you haven't done. And I need to tell you, that's the devil. Because shame and guilt are his thing that he works on, folks. But I want to tell you, if you'll come to Jesus today, all of that stuff will leave you. And you'll have a relationship with him like you've always wanted. With every head bowed, every eye closed, and with people praying, if that's you right now, I want you to lift your hand and say, Pastor, I need that today. That is me. God bless you back there. Anybody else? Leave those hands up just for a moment. Somebody else needs to join them because, yeah, God bless you over there. Yeah, okay. You can put your hands down because I'll expect to see you in just a few minutes. But I feel you so strongly today. And I want to tell you prophetically, as you come today, the stuff that you've been wrestling with, Jesus is going to break it off of you. And then for those of you that were here today, when you say, I'm going through a storm, you said, Pastor, I don't know how to get out of it. You don't have to get out of it. Just come to Jesus and he'll take you through it. If you're going through a storm today and you need Jesus to navigate to, then you need to come to him today. And you need some prayer. We got some people that will pray with you. But if that's you, lift your hand right now and say, I'm willing to accept some prayer for what I'm going through. Just do it right now in Jesus' name. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Would you all stand to your feet? Those of you that lifted your hands and you're coming to Jesus to meet with him, and those of you who are coming here for to navigate, just step out right now. Let Jesus do what he's going to do. You from there in the back there, come on.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.